Satsang with Maitreya, February 2nd, 2002.
Hello everybody. Welcome to the Vishnu Maitreya's Satsang Room and Conference Room. My famous salutation, good evening to you and all of you. So, Salam means that I pay my salutation to the persons in each and every one of you. That essence is God. That essence is what God loves in you. And that essence is what God wants to return to Him or it. Therefore, when we say Salum, is Salum, the divinity within you. And that's all you have. You don't have your body, you don't have your possessions, you don't own anything in the universe but that essence. Therefore, the more you work on that essence, the more successful you are in life, the more you work on your body and external world, the less successful you will be at the end. Therefore, Salum reminds us what is important in life. The most important thing in life is the essence that we have to work to polish it, to love it, to meditate on it, to make it progress, to get rid of the karmas and bad habits that we have created. When you leave your body, you don't take anything with you but that essence, not even your body, not even your wife, husband, your family, your possession. Nothing. The only thing you take with you is that home, that essence. That's what you are and who you are. Therefore, if you want to be successful in life, work on that essence alone. And when you have that essence, then you will realize that the goal of the life is to become divine. Become divine means come in the image of God, manifest His quality, and see His light, and shine that light to the people around you. Lift your spirit so you can also lift other people's spirits, because you are the fire of God, and you fire can fire others, who also will become the fire of God, and they also can fire many others. So you can see like a little candle which can lit many candles, and those many candles lit many others. And eventually we will have an earth full of lights of God which will shine all over the earth, and we'll see the truth of life. And they will not be ignorant anymore. And they know the goal of the life is to become divine. And the only thing they have is that essence. Therefore, I say again, Salum means I pay my salutation to the divinity within you. You have come to the room that has the last revelation of God for you. And again, God has fulfilled what He has promised He will do for humanity. He promised that there will be seven seals, and there will be seven angels, and these seven seals and seven angels will bring many different revelations or seals to humanity. And He has done it. He has sent seven revelations to humanity, that each of them have a part of a greater truth. And these revelations each has become great religions of the world, and each of them have many followers. And now each follower says, we have the truth, and no one else has the truth. Now God says, no, each of you have a part of a truth which is greater than the part. The whole is greater than the parts. Therefore, now this revelation has come to us, and We have given it to humanity in every way possible. Any tools He has created and any opportunity He has given us, we have used it to reach to humanity, and of course we will use it in a greater degree as opportunity will be given to the mission to reach to man. Indeed, many great souls are attracted to the mission. We can see that there are others who now preach the mission to many, and they have chosen to do that, and they are doing a great job in doing it. They know the teaching, they understand the revelation, they know their mission is in life to let humanity know this great revelation of God that God truly exists, because He has promised many things to humanity. He has carried out and fulfilled them. And even an agnostic or an atheist, when he or she sees that God promised and He carried out, they no longer can say God does not exist or prove it to me. That is the proof. How do we know somebody came to a room and when we come, that person is not there anymore? If he had or she moved something of the furniture and put it in a different place, so we conclude that somebody's been there. Somebody moved the furniture. Therefore, somebody has been in the room. If God promises that He will do something and He will do it, and there are many, many examples in our scripture, which is called the holiest of the holies, though the last testament, if you read that book, God many, many times promised and He carried them out. The conclusion is God truly exists. And of course, 99% of humans, which a majority of them claim, they follow God. They really don't believe in that God that really exists and is one. And He is the God of all of us. There is no separation, there is no difference. We are all His children, and we have to realize that as soon as possible, and therefore rescue the earth from the separation, destruction, ego trips, and the wars, and the destruction has been on earth, and unfortunately if we continue the way it is, it's going to even get worse, and eventually maybe humanity, not maybe, but surely humanity is a conclusion, yes, there is one God, one humanity, and one earth, and they come to that conclusion, but how could be there is one God, when only you have to meditate and like a drop of water fall into it. We don't, you know, it's like a mystical path to teach us to know, meditate and know this God. You know thyself to know God. Therefore, they don't believe in Abraham and Moses and Isa and Muhammad and Bob. They said, we don't care about those. We meditate only by ourselves and we will reach pure consciousness. We will reach Godhood. You become a drop falling into God. And all those who say we are the chosen one, God only chooses us, we are the only people who will come to go to God, no one else. I mean, you want to go to God, you go to us, and they will fight the people who do not believe in Moses and Abraham and his children. And of course, the other people say, oh, we have the only way, because He said, no one goes to the Father but through me. Therefore, we are the ones. We go to the God, and all of you are going to go to hell. We're not going to go there to the Father, to God. Or those who say, no, none of you is correct, because we have the last word, and therefore, we are the people going to go to God. And therefore, all of you are wrong, and you have to come and become and join us. And of course, others come and say, no, all of because you have the same teaching, basically you say the same thing, and therefore you are one, and you have to become one with each other and become a universalist and accept one another. Although I can see there is difference between these revelations, I cannot explain why there are difference between these revelations. But that's okay, we forget about that part, we just take the part that they are similar and say they are all one. So, which one is going to go to God? Which one is going to go to the pure consciousness, to heaven, whatever you call it, that place? Now God sends His revelation and says, okay, you have reached a point for the last 10,000 years, I have let the chaff and the wheat to grow together at the same field. Now is time of harvest. This is the time to separate the chaff from the wheat. So, really, this is the real picture. This is the whole revelation. This is the whole elephant. The whole picture is that each of these religions have a truth. Each of these religions brought a part of a greater message, which now we will reveal it to you. And you have heard it. When you heard it, I'm done with you. It is not a call. Here is not, we are creating a call. Here is a message, we give it to you, we are done. What you do with it, it's up to you and God. We don't judge you. God judges you with the action you take. You have free will. You have free will to take the actions you want. But what is the result of your free will, the action you take, is God's. So, free will is not a free ride. It's a completely two different things. Yes, you have free will to accept God's revelation and word and go to Him, or you have the free will not to accept God's word and go the other way and go away from Him. To take God's words and go to Him is the act of baptism. That is to turn around. Baptism means to turn around. It means I say, okay, I have free will. I can spend my time, you know, doing ungodly things, or I can spend my time do godly things and become a light which lifts, which will lift a lot of others around me and they will become godly. Or I go away from God and I become a teacher, a false teacher, which will take a lot of people with me to the world and away from God. So you see, if your choosing not only affects you, it also affects a lot of people around you. And therefore, you choose. The message is very simple. There are five revelations from God that have come to humanity. This is the path. This is principle we're giving to you. If you follow it, you will benefit from it individually. You can implement it in your life, in between the couple, in your household. You can implement it in your community, in your neighborhood. You can implement it in your city, in your state, in your country, on earth, or to the universe. It is your choosing. The principle is the first step in the eternal divine path, or the first revelation that God gave to humanity, is awakening your spiritual forces, the mystical path. To know thyself is to know God. Be still and know that I am God. I am, which is me, is the same as I am, which is God. Atman and Atman are the same. Self is same thing as God. Then you meditate and you calm your mind and your spirit and you withdraw your senses, which is like a five strong horses pulling you through the world, and therefore you fall into the Maya and the external world. When you quiet those senses, and you calm your mind, and eventually the turbulent mind becomes a calm lake. Then you can see the reflection of God in yourself, just like a calm lake that you can see the reflection of moon in it, but when it's turbulent, you can't see the moon. And you just keep looking at the lake and say, how come I can't see the moon? There is God, I can. And He doesn't exist, because the moon has been shattered to many thousands of millions of pieces, and your mind is not calm enough to reflect that spirit within yourself. That was the first step, is awaken your spiritual forces. Meditate. Withdraw your senses from the external world, and don't let those forces pull you to the external world and tempt you, the temptation of the mind. This is really your subconscious mind. This has been created in many lifetimes, and now if the subconscious mind tells you what to do, I want not to do, and you do that. And sometimes you feel you don't have power over it. You say, I don't have power, I can't do it, it's hard. And some people call it devil. The same thing. You know? It is really your subconscious mind, your pulling of your desires and wants and attachments, which make you, you know, listen to temptation. Listen to the adversary, which is devil. He tells you what to do, and you listen to him, because your senses is not trained to be controlled by you, but you are trained to be controlled by your senses. Therefore, devil is really nothing but your subconscious mind, your ego, your senses, external world, your desire, temptation. If you don't have those desires, if you don't let your senses pull you all over the place, the devil has no power over you. You have power over the devil. You can tell the devil what to do and what not to do. You can tell the devil, no, go away. Not going to listen to you. You are so little and so stupid. Devil is really easy, because the more you listen to devil, the more our life will become. But devil, you see, it is a understanding what the real essence of devil is. Devil really is tamaguna in a state of purification. Of course, tamaguna is one of the three forces of the universe, which tamaguna crudifies, and that is what the whole universe is created with. And tama also takes us, you know, crudifies the mind, and we eventually think we are only our body. You know, we don't even feel a spirit or God or anything. Therefore, the devil is tamaguna in a state of purification, which takes us to the world and we listen to our senses. The very tamaguna, when you become realized, you can see that the world is being created with the tamaguna, you can see the temptation, you can see the pulls. Then you can meditate and realize more and more how to not this world, you know, dominate you, and then the very devil become the shining star, a guidance in your path to God. It's called Satan. Satan really means the shining star. He is one of the angels of God, one of the main angels God created. Of course, devil, the tamaguna and the subjugation, challenges God, because he wants to be God. As I said, he has power over you. He has power over your consciousness, your senses. Therefore, tamaguna dominates you and says, don't listen to God, listen to me, listen to your temptation, listen to your senses. Yeah, go ahead. You know, glorify your senses, you know. Give your senses as much as they ever want. Eat, drink, sleep, you know. Go. And give your senses as much as it wants. That's exactly what devil is. He wants to become your God. And that's what the Bible says. It challenged God, and it still does challenge God. Your senses challenge God. God wants you to return and go to Him. Your senses want to go to work. So you see, it's a challenge. And there's a fight going on between God and devil. And that is true. Bible is correct. There is a challenge. There was a challenge. There still is a challenge between devil, which is the tamaguna, or purification in the state of. But then you saw the challenge and you know the devil. Is it devil anymore? No, it's a shining star. You become a light in your path and say, oh, I can see it. Right to, you can meditate actually. You can close your eyes and meditate and say, yeah, I can see right through this, you know, situation, and I'm not going to let devil get me. You know? Then devil is your slave. You become the master. So we can see, yes, Bible and our teaching is the same. You say the same thing, of course. Bible put it in a more dramatic way because human consciousness didn't know about subconscious mind. They didn't know about, you know, meditation and other, you know, spiritual process. So they have to put kind of a fear in their heart. So they will at least consider, oh, if I do that, devil is going to get me. It's the devil doing it. You know, so we can see that really, in this time, human is in a level of consciousness. Now this thing can be explained to them, and they realize what is the meaning of what the scripture was saying, and the meaning is much greater and more logical than, oh, there's a devil, it's a red and it's a two horn and has a long, you know, a spear, and it comes and says, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to put the spear through your heart or make those things. That's why no wonder there are so many atheists and, you know, agnostic out there and say, what you're saying doesn't make sense. It's not logical, you know. It does, but this makes sense. Not to tell an atheist or a agnostic, it's a subconscious mind. He says, oh yeah, okay, I understand that. Subconscious mind, or, you know, there's a subconscious mind, there's an unconscious mind, there's a collective conscious, and all this has been taught, you know, by Freud and Jung. Therefore, well, I can understand that. That's intellectual. That makes sense to me. You know. But really, that's what God is talking about, the same as devil and all that. Is there hell or heaven? You know, where's hell and heaven? It's here and now. You're either in heaven, here on earth, or you're in hell. It's a state of consciousness. Is that a place? If there's a place, then you can drink and have 17 virgin, as some people believe, you know, this thing is a manifestation. How can it be essence? How can it be ultimate? How can, if it's a place, it cannot be ultimate. It's still material thing. So we can see, you know, again, hell and heaven is here and now. You're either in heaven or either in hell. Hell means you're listening to your ego, your senses, devil, or you are in heaven by meditating, awakening a spiritual person and realizing, no, I don't want to listen to this body anymore. I've been listening to this body for many, many, many lifetimes and it didn't get me anywhere. Now it's a time to say, just stop it. I'm not going to listen. I'm going to listen to God. And of course, God has sent the scriptures and He has explained in them how you can return to Him. And in this revelation, of course, you have greater truth to return, and that is the eternal divine path. So the first step is having ignorance for the realizing what makes you fall, what makes pull you to all your desires and attachment and all that, and overcoming and getting control over your senses. And the second step, of course, the mystical path says that's it. That's all you have to do. After you know yourself, like a drop of water, you fall into the ocean. That is the teaching of the Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, mystical Christianity. Just like that saint was saying that I die every day in Christ, and Christ increases in me, and I decrease in myself. So God really, that's really what it means. Ego become less and less, and God become more and more. Therefore, I let my ego go. Therefore, God can fill the empty space that the ego left. So we can see, and then of course, Sufism, and any other path that tells you know thyself to know God. And therefore, we can see the first step covers all the mystical religions and paths on earth. But of course, this is not the end of it, because it was the end of it. God would not say in the Bible that if you think you have gold and you have overcome and you are okay, I will spew you out of my mouth. He says, no, you're not going to get in. If you're in the mystical path, and you selfishly and personally and individually overcoming and going to the higher consciousness and gaining a lot of powers and manifesting miracles and, you know, creating ashes and giving, you know, grace to this and that and eating vegetable only and smelling, you know, like roses. Just God says, it's not the way. I'm not going to let you in. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Why? Because God says, go and do the first love. Where was the first love? First love was society. First love was they wanted to get some satisfaction in the body, in the society. That is what their first love. Therefore, he says, after you meditating and feeling the, you know, awakening spirit forces, you have to direct that energy toward the creation of the communities of life. Now, where the idea of the communities of life came from? No. Who brought the communities of life? If we can see, God chooses Abraham. He promises two promises to Abraham. First, he promises to Abraham a birthright and a scepter. The son of Abraham, of course, was Ishmael. Then he changes the name from Abraham to Abraham and promises the same thing to Abraham, which whose son was Isaac. So he gave two promises, one to Ishmael and one to Isaac. And then, of course, the children of Isaac create the Old Testament and Hebrews. And what is the theme of the Old Testament? The whole Old Testament is talking about God wants to find a people, His people, and they will follow Him, accept Him as the King, and will follow His laws. So community, tribe, the 12 of Israel. That is the next step also in our path. After we start meditating, having our two courses, we direct it toward the creation of the commons of light. In the commons of light, of course, we share. In the commons of light, we try to, you know, not always thinking, what this is only for me, by meditation, by overcoming our senses, we will desire less. The less we desire, the less you need, the more you can share. The more desire you have, the more you need, the less you can share. The more we share, the less suffering will be on earth, because, you know, everybody has at least their physiological safety needs to be taken care of, and then of course they, if they follow their eternal divine path, also will awaken the rest of the children. So the next step after having those resources is to direct energy toward the Kerisanthic Commons of Life, which is the Old Testament, the story of Hebrews, and how God was trying to create the 12 tribes of Israel. But how long does it last, that period of Hebrews to be chosen? It's very clearly in the Bible, in the chapter 50, in Genesis, when Isaac was dividing the his inheritance, when he gave the inheritance to Judah, he says, the kingdom will stay with Judah, which is all the great kings of the Jews came from, until the Shiloh come. Who's the Shiloh? Shiloh is the Messiah. When their Messiah come, that promise, that kingdom will be taken away. Of course, we can see the Shiloh later come as Christ and Isa, or Jesus. It's really not, it's not Jesus, it's not in his name. You know, if you read though, you realize why he was not Jesus. But anyway, his name is really Esau. Some people say his name was Yeshua. It was not his earthly name, that was his spiritual name, which cannot be pronounced. So we can see that when the Shiloh came, actually, if you read though, it clearly states that Christ told, you know, the priest of the temple that the kingdom will be taken away from them and given to another nation. And we see by coming of Christ, he fulfilled that promise. He also brought the idea of sacrifice. Now, the awakening spirit of forces, you direct it toward the creation of the communities of life. But if you're selfish, personal in the communities of life, can you help the community? You're going to take more resources from the community than giving it to it. So what's going to happen? You're draining the resources of the community. you are draining the energy of the community. You are demanding attention always from the community. You are demanding resources always from, so that community is going to die, you know. Just like a faucet which, you know, takes more water out than the water you can put in a container. So sacrifice and ability to give to the community comes next, and that is the message of Christ. Christ came and showed that sacrifice is necessary. You have to go all the way to the cross, if necessary, in order to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Of course, it is not really necessary this time, because God is in charge now, and He will thunder, and those who will not be with Him will not be reincarnated for a long, long time. And those who are with Him will be reincarnated and create the kingdom of heaven on earth. So, the next step is sharing, sacrifice, giving of yourself to the community, the ability to see the need of the community and rise, you know, to the occasion and take care of it. So, we can see that that is the message of Christ, the sacrifice. Now you sacrifice and you give all you can, you will put a lot of effort in it, nothing happens. Nobody listens, nobody wants the, you know, revelation, nobody wants to create the communities of life, nobody wants to create the communities of life. So we can see, you can become very discouraged and say, well, I've been giving this satsang for the last 22 years and, you know, what if you are attacked? Of course, that's been prophesied that there's going to be a time of silence. And it was a time of silence for the last 20 years, but now it's not no longer. Indeed, that fall of the twin towers in the New York sounded like a really a turning point for humanity as well. It was a great event that happened, and it was then that God really brought this revelation to humanity in a greater degree, and now we are reaching to everybody out there who is interested to hear about us, and also our teachers are, you know, reaching out in a greater degree to humanity, and that this door opened, so that that time of silence is finished. Now it is time of calling of everybody to come to it. So we can see that if you do a lot for the comes of life, and you say it's not going to happen, it's not happening, you become depressed. Or maybe you do, and it's not happening. Just like now, probably, mission is accelerating in a greater degree, and a lot of people are hearing from us. And then, you know, I create a big ego, this is my doing, I'm a great, you know, doer of this. It's not. I even didn't know I would be chosen to bring this revelation to God. God chose me, and I appreciate God has such a confidence that created such great revelation that I can bring to humanity. But really, it's God who did it, not me. Therefore, the next step is surrendering the result to God. With the awakening of spiritual forces, you create the comings of life, try to create the comings of life, you sacrifice and share in the comings of life. But when you do that, you say, God's result is yours, just like this satsang. Some people say, why don't I have, you know, hundreds and thousands of followers? I don't care. Maybe it's because I have a real truth. You know, people don't want a real truth. That's why, you know, after the prophet leaves, and another person comes with a big ego and bring in, you know, waters down the teaching of the prophet, and then a lot of people start following that. So we can see that that happens, you know, in Christianity, and in some part of Islam. It happens in Bab teaching. You know, another person has to come and to dilute it and put their ego in it, and because it's an ego in that, everybody says, yeah, that makes sense, I want to follow. So you can see that when you sacrifice and you give to the community, the next step is to realize that you're not attached to the result of your action. You surrender and submit the result to God, and greater than surrendering and submitting the result, surrendering the result to God is submission, to realize that God is doing it through you. I'm not giving this action. God is giving it through you, through me, to you. You know, you are actually connected to God directly, and He is presenting this teaching to you, so you can see the truth that He has been doing it. So if you become a instrument in the hand of God, then you're not attached to the result because you didn't do anything. God just did it through you. So that takes care of being attached to the result, and you can freely go do and preach and give away without being attached to the result and knowing God just did it through you. That is the theme of Islam. The Islam comes from the word taslim, means surrender and submission to God. And if you truly become instrument in the hand of God, that is the highest spiritual realization. You have realized you and God are one. And that is the goal of the life, to become divine, to realize that God is within you all the time. The I and I are one. The Atman and Atman are one. The essence is God. Therefore, you can see in that essence, Prophet Muhammad was the last prophet, and the Khatam of Prophet. And also, if you look at the greatest sign, the sign of Islam is very top of the greatest sign. Therefore, it was also the seal of the Prophet, so like a ring, and therefore the two-fold meaning is correct in that essence. That right now we solve the problem that Baha'is and Muslims have had for more than a century. Was it Khatam or is it Khatam? It is both. And then, of course, still with all these four steps, you might become narrow-minded. You direct everything toward the wellness of one nation, or your city, or your neighborhood, or your household, or even earth. Okay, the next step becomes universalist. Realize God is your father, God is your mother, God is everything, and everything is God. God couldn't just go to 7-Eleven and buy material and create, the universe. He has to use his own body to create the universe. There is nothing that is not God. If there is nothing that's not God, then where is devil then? Where the devil is hiding, if God is everywhere. That's why we say devil or maya or self-centeredness or subconscious mind is the illusion of separation from God. You have the illusion that we are separated from God. When that illusion is shattered, we know that God indeed is everything. When we realize that, we become universalists. We shatter all normals of mind. We do not separate any part of the universe from any other part. Therefore, the pain of the people in South America is our pain. The pain of the people in Africa is our pain. The pain of Asia is our pain. The pain in America is our pain. The pain in Europe is our pain. The pain in the universe. Therefore, we work toward God. Create the kingdom of heaven on earth, which all humanity has provided. Is a large kind of safety need, and some people say, hey, there's not enough resources for all of the humanity. And as Gandhi said, there's enough for everybody's need, but not for everybody's greed. And also by reaching to the universe, to the space, we can bring greater resources to humanity with the greater lifestyle for everyone. So there is, God has been provided for us to be comfortable for all of us. We don't have to give up everything we have to make everybody comfortable, but if we give a little bit, a lot can be done. With this realization, we shatter all the narrowness of the mind, and this is the eternal divine path. Awakening of its curses, creation of the community of life, sacrifice, surrenderness of this God, and become universalist. If you really, truly follow this path, you become an elect. An elect is the person who follows the eternal divine path, is incorruptible, and that is the sixth seal, is brought with a gentleman, or a baba, or a guru, or a teacher, or he was more than a teacher and guru, actually, he was really a manifestation by himself that brought the concept of Sadhikras. He went through a lengthy explanation of who a Sadhikra is. He brought the four classes of human and all that, and so he really explained what God means with an elect. Of course, mission, expand on it, and brought the seven seals and explanation of the Eternal Divine Path. And Eternal Divine Path, of course, tends to creation of the elect, or those have been chosen to do the will of God. And that's the sixth seal. And the seventh seal, of course, is our teaching. Seven seal, like the seventh chakra. In seventh chakra, you become one with God, and there is no mystery left. And the seventh seal is the same thing. It is the place that our revelation are given, and there is no mystery left for humanity. And now is the time for everybody to see where they fall, where the religion is. There are three kinds of people who are resisting our teaching. First are those, they have their own religion, the dogmas, and they want us to follow their dogma, and their dogma is a dogma. It's not from God. Dogma means man created, or created by man. And they resist us as they resist every new revelation from God. Okay? Hebrews resisted Christ. Christian and Hebrews resisted Prophet Muhammad. Christian, Hebrews, and Muslim resisted Baha'u'llah and Baal. And everybody resisted, the people in the mystical path resisted, Judeo, Christian, Islamic, Baha'i's teaching. And now here we are again, and they are resisting us. That is the first. The second is the atheist and the agnostics. They don't believe in God, therefore they're not interested in the mission. But believe me, if they come and read and see, God said He's going to do that, the agnostic at least says, God exists. Now I'm not agnostic anymore. No, because I can see He said He's going to do it, and He did it. And of course, atheists, they have to realize that it is very logical, and God is not something, they're very against dogma, just like us. We are against dogma. So they have something in common, and even atheists can find God in our teaching, hopefully, because it's logical. And the third one is the people who have a little knowledge, and they have made their mind that they probably research their soul, and they have to come to this conclusion, God is something. God is love. God is life. God, that's it. If Maitreya doesn't say God is love, or God is light, or God is this and that, he's not from God. Okay, because I realize this little thing, and I'm hanging into it. I'm not going to expand myself to more than that. But really, God is. Put anything in front of it, it becomes. He is God, He is love, He is, light, and anything with the is, God is, dot, dot, dot. Put anything in front of it, dot, dot, dot. Comes in. So we have the same problem, human resists us. But in this time, God is the doer, God is the manifester, God is at the last stage. He has actually created an environment that no other prophet ever had. He first made this country a free country for religion. So I can come and preach here without being afraid to be stoned or crucified. That's what they did to other prophets. They crucified them, stoned them, shot at them, and all that. Second, it created internet to fulfill the prophecy of all will hearing, and hopefully pretty soon we have a camera, everybody will see. Of course, you can see my picture in the website, but none of them important. God created all these tools for this purpose, for His mission, for His revelation. Therefore, you can see God is behind this mission, behind this revelation. And now, you know the teaching, you know the revelation, you have heard it, it is your decision. Take it, preach it, give it to everybody, let God come through, and with His light, become lighted, and light many others, so we can bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now we go to the questions. This is, please keep your question about the mission. Our questions are asked, they are not really that important, first, or there are questions that are very specific. I do not claim that I know every specific thing in the Bible. There are a lot of things also been changed, it's man-made. I do not know about man's teaching. I only know about God's teaching. If it's man-made, I don't know. Okay, so don't come here and say, well, How about such and such and such? If you dig a little bit, you can see it is their group or their religion or their teaching has a part that teaches thing is not God, is not from God, and therefore I don't know. Okay? So I'm not gonna, be concerned about that, and therefore let us keep our teaching based on the mission and whatever question that you have or concerns you, and the floor open for your questions. Raise your hands and I will call you, to take them out. Go ahead, Lomso.
Thank you very much. I'm sitting here listening and you speak a lot of truth. I basically just have one question. If you can't answer it, I don't know if you can, What has my friend God told you about the civilizations that existed on this planet way before any of this written doctrine of organized religion has come about through the millennia when other civilizations have risen and fallen on this planet?
I imagine that you are asking about the Atlantean Lemurian, is that correct?
Those are two, but there also exist civilizations long before they were here also. I'm just curious as to what God has told you about these, because this planet has been here for billions of years and there have been many civilizations that have existed. As well as Atlantis, Lunaria, the continent of New, or Nera, however you wish to pronounce it, but there have been civilizations before them also. And I was just curious as to what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah, well, there have been civilization before the civilization. When God created man, in the beginning, man did not have the same kind of body, they were more spirit, and they were not as dense as we are, and they had the direct control over the forces, and they did use those forces, and because actually the spiritual world was more real to them than the external world, because of that they could manipulate the spiritual forces for their own purposes. In the case of Atlanteans and Lemurian, they lived together. Atlanteans were intellectuals and very industrious, and they created a lot of tools that we have now, and they use a lot of crystals to extract energy and life force. And the Lemurians were more spiritual and the spiritual teacher. It's almost like the East and West at this time, And then, of course, the intellectual and Atlanteans didn't care too much about the Lemurians, so they destroyed the Lemurians, and therefore the base of their spiritual strength, was gone, and that's when they become more egoistical, and eventually they taught their God themselves, and they create tools that which eventually destroyed them. But other civilizations, yes, there were other civilizations, and as I said, they were not as human-like as we are, and they misused the power and energy and the spirit, and therefore they failed, and that is what eventually God destroyed those civilizations, which is symbolized in the Bible as the flood of Noah. And in the flood of Noah, if you read the Holiest of the Holies, or the scripture, it explains how God clothed the third eye of man and gave man the two eyes that we have now. And our third eye actually is closed until we prove ourselves that we really are serious, are interested in God and the Spirit, and start meditating and close two eyes, which is really the eye to see the external world and affection and pulls us toward external world, and go back to the internal eye, which is the seeing a spirit and God and progressing. So we can see, yes, there was many, many other people before this generation, but they failed And that is why we are here now with this body, dense body, our senses, and also many, many things that pull us to our external world until, you know, we close our eyes and go back. So, you are correct on that. Lone soul, you can go ahead.
So, from what you just said, that God destroys, then you believe, as other religions do, that God destroys his children if they disobey.
Well, in a better way to put it, God doesn't destroy, but man destroys himself against the law. Okay, there are a set of laws has been set that man follows, they will prosper, they will receive the grace, and they will be returning home. And if they do not, just like a path, you know, a good person, a teacher, or your parents, or your leaders, if they are good, and God, they say, you do this, you become a good person, and you have a good life. If you do not, you become a bum, and you fall, and you're not going to prosper, and your life is going to be miserable. It's really your choice which one you want to go. And also, it is the purpose of the universe to return back in this original state, which is the blissful state of Venus. And of course, the universe worked toward the creation of that state and return human consciousness back to original self. And therefore, the whole act of God is based on this purpose, based on this goal, based on this vision. Therefore, if anything goes against that goal, that vision, it will go against the will, go against the purpose. Therefore, they hurt themselves against that will. So, in a sense, you do not say God sitting up there and, you know, pointing finger at you, if you don't do it, you know, I'm going to destroy you. But if you don't do it, you destroy yourself. So it's a choice. It's a free will again. You have the free will to choose whatever you want. But the result is not yours. Where you go is based on what you decide. Therefore, that's what we meditate on, the spiritual having us the forces to know the will of God. Follow it. You will not be destroyed. So there is a little different here with the thing, no, God is going to, you know, punish you and destroy you. No, go ahead. You don't want to listen to my teaching? You don't want to follow, you know, God's will? That's fine. You know? And I said, that's why I'm not a cult member, you know, leader here. That said, no, you have to come here. Please come here, you know. Avoid all others. Us and others. It's not us and others. It's us. God is everything. So, it is here, the explanation is a little different. There's a purpose in the creation. It goes toward that purpose. There are set of laws and regulation that has been given to humanity through his word and the scriptures. Follow them, you're going to be okay. Don't follow them, it is really you decided to destroy yourself. Go ahead, Lou.
Problems to all. My question is the Holy Book, page 27, verse 17, you mentioned that Noah was an spiritually incarnated personality. Could you please explain that?
Yes, sir. If you read the Bible, the first person who really don't die and actually becomes a son of God or overcome it is Lamech. And then it explains that this person born and lived for this long and then he died. That person came and died and died. When he came to Lamech, he says God took him. He didn't die. What happened? He overcame. He realized God. He became the son of God. That's how you become the son of God, by overcoming. Also in the Revelation, in the chapter 23 or 24, it clearly God says, if you overcome, you become my son. So the only requirement to become a son of God is to overcome. Of course, those who overcome and rescue consciousness, God will use. You know, just like mission is looking for a great soul, mission looking for elects, people who have been born to realize the beauty of this teaching. And actually, during the week when people here read the scripture to our room, you know, many room, many people come and truly, you know, write or talk from great joy that, yes, this revelation is really the one that even great prophets expected to hear and know. And they lived for or prophesied that this revelation comes, and this revelation comes, it's going to be the greatest revelation ever came to humanity. And you can see those souls are souls that they are looking for such thing. God does the same thing. Actually, the people who become the Son of God, they will return and will reach, will see His truth, and they say, yes, I want to be a part of it. So, when God wanted to choose a being to come and start the flood of Noah, He reincarnates Noah, which was a great personality, the spiritual personality. Maybe he was Son of God, maybe he was Lamech himself, who knows? Only God knows those things. That maybe it was another son, but it makes sense because Lamech was the first and Noah was pretty close to Lamech. The first, of course, the first one, of course, was the first begotten son, or the Adam, who went to the eternal divine path and returned to God. But also there are many sons, many, many other sons who have overcome, and they are great souls that always is incarnated with the new revelation, and they help. Of course, in that time, Noah had only his own three sons who listened to him. No one else listened to him. Everybody mocked him. Everybody, you know, told him, no, we don't know what you're talking about. And they were building this ship in the middle of this desert that there was no water. And everybody was saying, what are you doing? There's no water. Who's going to, you know, ride it? But when the flood came, they really realized, wow, they missed the boat. So you can see that Noah was a great soul, and his three children was great souls who came to start a project for God. And when the flood came, did God destroy those people, or they destroyed themselves by going against God's law? Of course, they went against God's law, they went against God's purpose, they went against the purpose of the universe and creation, therefore they destroyed themselves. God will take the universe, or at least those who will listen, to the purpose that is created, and though explain that purpose very clearly. So that is why God uses these great spiritual beings to come and guide humanity and bring you a new revelation, spread it, and eventually bring God's kingdom on earth. I hope that makes sense. Go ahead, Buffalo.
When Jesus returns, He will return to claim His bride or His wife. But He didn't explain who or what that was. And I'd just like to hear His comments on that.
Yeah, well, for that, probably we can go to the parable that Christ was talking about, that when the wedding came, God sent for those who have been invited to the wedding, but they didn't come. You know, they said, no, we are busy with this and busy with that. We have all we have our religion, we have all the ideas, our truth, you know, and they didn't come to the wedding. What was that wedding? That wedding was that the revelation, the new wine, the new truth that have come to humanity, and they did not accept it, they rejected it, they actually crucified him, they killed him, and they said, they're going to stop him, but did they? No, they did not. The wedding went on, not with those who have been called for, those who weren't called for. They were the priest class in the temple that they claimed to be godly and the children of God, and they have the truth of God, and they were preaching to the Hebrews, you know, as they are the sons of God, and they are the people who will recognize the Messiah when He comes. They will go to Him and accept Him and follow Him, and will preach His teaching and bring His revelation to everyone. But then He came, they did not accept Him. They rejected Him. You know, they actually crucified Him. So you can see they did not go to the wedding, which was the new revelation, new wine, new truth. And therefore, Christ wasn't really unified with his bride. He was not able to marry her because he didn't see that it's manifested and it is going. And that is, again, you can see in this time, that's not true. I'm still alive, and mission is going, and it's spreading, and people hearing it. It's preached to the people every day, three times a day. You know, our people are invited to many different places. Our teachers this summer will go, you know, all over the United States, and wherever he is, you know, invited. And therefore, we can see the mission really has manifested in this time, and those who have been called for, they are responding to it. We don't have any special priests. This revelation didn't come to the Jews. This revelation didn't come to the Christian or Hindu, the Buddhist. This revelation came to earth, and those who are being called for are the ones who are invited. They are coming with the proper clothing and wash and ready for the wedding, and they are the people that are greatest in the kingdom because they are the humblest. I hope that makes sense to you. That is the meaning of that verse. Go ahead, Zon So.
Thank you. Good question, Buff. You spoke a few seconds ago about following God, and if you do not follow, you fail and fall down. Well, my question is, I believe God is perfection. I believe all of God's creation is perfection. So in my belief, how can you go away from that which you are? We are God. We are one with God. So failure does not exist. If you say that we run away from God on a physical realm, you can't run away from what you are. You can't separate yourself from God. And it seems to me what you're saying is that you can separate yourself from God if you do not follow his laws, which personally I don't believe that he has any laws other than love and acceptance of all his children. So I wonder if you could just explain that, because it's a contradiction to me when you say on one respect that God's creation is perfect, so if it's perfect then everything that is happening as it is supposed to, regardless of what path or what level you're on in your evolutionary perspective. So you can't get away from God no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're thinking or meditating on. When we leave this fleshly existence, we go back to God. And you also stated that God chooses whether or not you reincarnate or not, or when you reincarnate. And I wanted you to explain it, because I don't think God chooses anything for us but love and acceptance, and we make our own choices on when and where we wish to reincarnate. Maybe you could expand on that a little bit.
I sure can. That is a new age teaching that is being, you know, given to humanity. Actually, when I first heard that I am God, I said, wow, I am God. Jeez, that's great. I really love that. I got such a big ego going around saying, I am God, people. And as I meditated more and more, I realized, wow, I have got all this problem. I am not loving, I'm not accepting, I'm not compassionate, I'm not manifesting God's quality at all. And still I am going around saying, I am God, with a big ego and feeling good about myself, but I'm not manifesting God's quality. I'm not even humble. And talking about all this wonderful word, but manifesting none of them. So I realized, oh, look, back up. Let's look at this and say, am I really God? If I am God, why am I not manifesting these wonderful qualities? You know? Therefore, we can see that there is an essence which is God's in here, everybody, but also there are chakras which are not clean. They are not purified. They are not completely one with God. And also, there is subconscious mind which is being created in many lifetimes, including this one, which are not compassionate. They are selfish, self-centered. They have a lot of problems. They don't know, you know what the truth is. And therefore, you know, just accepting I am God is just a part of it. Yes, the essence, your essence is God. Your essence is one with God. But also, you have the illusion of separation of God. If you are the really one with God, the moment you see this revelation, you see this teaching, you jump up joy and say, yes, this is from God, and it makes sense. And you can see, you know, even Christ said, be perfect as your Father. He didn't say you are already perfect. He said, be perfect. He said, what? He said, if you follow those teachings, you will build your house on the rock. And when the water and the wind and all those things come, it's not going to move. But if you don't, you put your house on sand and it will fall. Well, if everybody is already perfect and nothing has to be done about it, and we have the choice to choose whatever we want and wherever we want to be reincarnated, therefore you are saying we don't need God. We are God ourselves, and therefore we do as we please. We do not listen to the scripture. We don't read the word of God. We do not follow his revelations, his prophecies, his struggle with man, because we are already perfect. Therefore, we don't need him. We are God ourselves. Isn't that what happened in the Garden of Eden? They thought they're God. If they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we will be God themselves, and they don't need God, and they will know everything. Therefore, you can see the teaching you are just explained to me is the teaching of the New Age. That I'm not saying it doesn't have some truth. It has some truth in it for sure, as everybody has some truth. But the problem is that when some truth is mingled with some untruth in it, and that is when the problem starts. Therefore, we can see you have to become perfect. Of course, in our teaching, in our universal mantra, Hari Om Shri Ham, Om Nam Kevalam, it says the goal of the life is to become divine. Be princess, come divine. That means that the goal of the life is to be or not to be, that is the question. To be or not to be is realizing I am in the moment here and now, therefore I am perfect because I can manifest God's quality and understand the scriptures and his words, therefore I am, you know, one with them. Or become, okay, I'm not completely there, I'm not one with him, therefore I have the illusion of the separation from God, my chakras are not clean, and I'm not perfect yet, I cannot manifest the quality of God, therefore I'm not there. Therefore, if I can choose the wrong path by following my senses, and therefore I will fall and I go against the law, and I will be, you know, suffer. I will suffer for it. Therefore, you can see that it is true, the essence is the same as God, but also there are other factors involved that makes us have the free will and choose the path and go wrong. So we can see that you have some truth. What you say has some truth, but there is more into it. There was a God who has created the universe for a purpose. He has the control in everything. And he can choose for us to come or not according to our choices and according to his laws. We will suffer what we choose, where we go. He has sent revelation. He has sent prophets. If we already were perfect and we knew everything, why did he have to send the prophets and his words to us? Therefore, we can see that, you know, that teaching does not have all the truth. There is more into it. We have to go to his words, his revelation, and especially now that the seven seals and this revelation explaining how everything God sent. But we can see God was sending this thing and trying to take people to somewhere that is the purpose of this universe, and that teaching is against that purpose. Okay, Lonis, so go ahead.
Thank you very much. Actually, that's not New Age teaching. It has been around long before any. It has been around forever, because that is what God has told me in my many conversations with Him. And that's not New Age. That's the knowledge that is available, and the wisdom that is available to anyone when they meditate upon who they truly are and who we truly are. I believe you're speaking of man as living on a physical realm. And I don't claim to be perfect on a physical realm, but in my soul and in my connection with God and my oneness with God, I am perfect, as are you and everyone else that exists in the many, many universes. So I see where you're coming from, and to me it's just another spin on organized religion. And like you said, I have some truth, you have some truth, but I follow what God says to me in my heart and in my soul.
Okay, Lone Soul, if you have a question, please go ahead and ask your question. And God does not talk to everyone. God talks to, you know, you according to the level you are. Otherwise, you didn't need all the prophecies and long period of prophecy of coming of a revelation. And therefore, you know, we have to go with that. That see, God is different than a lot of our thinking. So examine and test the spirit that you call God, which is coming to you and giving you all this thing. And you're correct. This teaching that you are talking about is revived with the New Age, but they have started in the Garden of Eden, and actually started with the before the flood of Noah. That's actually a lot of people believe they are perfect, they are God, they don't need God, they don't need His word, they are not in His revelation and all that. So and you say we have a little of the truth, a part of the truth. This teaching has the whole truth. So if you really want to know more, go and read more about it and know God's way. Okay, I will undoubt you, but please go to the question, not preach, the preaching and your teaching. We appreciate that, and be brief. Thank you.
Yes, I apologize. I forgot this is in a discussion group. It's a question and answer thing on the betrayer and whatever it is. And I understand that. And I don't have any more questions. You have answered them all.
And, of course, we will use God's light and word, and we'll hopefully help many people to realize God is different than our own understanding. We have to, read the scripture, know God in a greater degree, and also we are gods, but we have to manifest God's quality, and therefore we'll be able to, teach humanity to realize His word is in the scripture, what we understand, and if even a spirit comes to us and tell us something, do not accept it if it is not according to scriptures and the word of God and the prophets. And that will not guide you, because that will actually take you away from God and His revelation. Actually, it is amazing how similar it is that philosophy with what God said in the Garden of Eden. We are God. We don't need God. We don't need the scripture. He don't need His revelation and prophet. We can find everything by ourselves. That is amazing. How can you find? It's just like little kid in 5 years old kid and said, well, I'm going to become a chemist by studying and learning by myself. And I don't need any guidance, I don't need any book, I don't need to have to go to school. I'm not going to read actually any books or anything, I'm just going to meditate and find out exactly what doctor in chemistry knows. You can't. You can't just do it by yourself by meditation. But you have to read books, you have to go to school, the first grade, second grade, third grade, then go to high school, and then go to the university and eventually become a doctor in chemistry. But meditating in there, yeah. His spirit told me if you put this chemistry with that chemistry together, elements together, then you're going to come up with that, and you do that, you blow yourself up. You have to have guidelines. You have to have revelations came from God. You have to have God in your life and know what He said through His prophets, which is God's mouthpiece. Then you can say, yes, this makes sense. I can just find this 12,000 years of revelation and sending of God through to humanity by listening to a spirit that tells me this is the way it is, and we have all to accept each other and love one another, and yes, that is true. But did they do that before the flood of Noah? They didn't. It becomes separate because just by saying it, it doesn't happen. You have to understand the comings of light, the eternal divine path, the struggle for it, and eventually be able to create the comings of light. To be able to sacrifice for it, awaken, turn and submit to God and become universalist. Then you become an elect, you become a son of God. Okay. If you don't have that qualities, if you think you are the one, without having, proof, then I'm sorry to say that probably you are wrong. You are saying what some truth, but not the whole truth. So, the New Ages also have some truth. Yes, they can become God. They have the potential to become God, but they're not God yet. Unless they manifest God qualities, that belief is from ego. As I said, wow, I am God. That felt so wonderful. But of course, God is probably, I've been meditating for so many lifetimes, I cut myself very fast. So, what am I doing? A couple of months later, I'm God, but I can't manifest any God's quality. How can that be? So you can see that, just saying beautiful words and believing in the things that can be from ego, you can even fall even farther from the path. And we pray for a brother, hopefully you will see the truth, that God only taught in the greatest degree through His prophets, through Moses, through Muhammad, through Christ, through Baha'u'llah. Why did He send all these prophets? If we could have done it by ourselves, why do we need them? We don't need them. Get rid of them. Are we going to be better off if we do that? You can see that teaching is absolutely incorrect. And we have to realize that and not to fall in that trap. Can you go ahead, John?
Maitreya, my question is in regard to the warrior class that's mentioned in in the holiest, and then also in the kingdom of heaven on earth, and Mount Zion in Daniel. In the future communities with the hierarchy created in Mount Zion and Zion, how can we adequately satisfy the desire of the warriors when in the past they would fight one against another to control countries and things like that? How can in a good social way can the warriors, when they come to their rise to power over the businessmen or whatever in the cycle, how can we use them but not make them to the degree that they caused so much suffering in the past?
Yeah, John, if you remember, those who are in control of the society, they will be the Paravipras. Those who have the ability of Shudras, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Vipras, and Para Vipras are in control. Therefore, at the time of the Kshatriyas, the Kshatriyas will not be able to take over, but they will be used to go or prepare the society for other phase, or next phase. So because they are not going to be able to control of the society, when the time comes for them not to be in control anymore, Parvipras is the way for the next social class to come. Actually, none of the social classes have the power in their hand, but the Parvipras, who have all the classes in themselves, and therefore they can determine when time comes for the next class of in the society arises. And therefore, neither Vipras, neither Vaishyas, neither Kshatriyas or Shudras will have the control over the society, and therefore, and when the time comes, and they need some Kshatriyas to win a situation, they are going to be used. And also in that time, we still might need some police force, some small armies or big armies, depends on the situation. And also, if we reach to their space, who knows, maybe there are other beings out there that are still in a lower consciousness, and we have to create an environment that protect ourselves, or even fight them, or eventually teach them the eternal divine path and bring them to our fold and create the confederation or the a planet in the space. Therefore, we can see that it is not the end of Kshatriya class, it's not the end of any class at all, but the direction comes from the Paravipras, which are able to use every class and go to the next level as the cyclical movement continues to progress. In that essence, no class will dominate, and the time of the stagnation is shortened, and also there's not going to be a revolutionary approach to the change of the classes. Therefore, it goes smoother, and as more people meditate and they awaken their future forces, they become all the four classes, so they can act in different situations according to the what they need to be done at or where they are at. Therefore, we have less and less separate classes, but more and more Paravipras that they are willing to do the work of the dominating class or the class which is necessary in that time, and therefore continue to progress the society in a greater degree and eventually reach a point of no need will be there for any human. All humans will be taken care of at least physiological and safety need, and of course that is all human needs. They need the physiological and safety need. After that, meditation, awakening of the forces, creation of the Kamborkam means of life, sacrifice, surrender, submission, become universalist, and elect. So you accelerate a creation of more elects in this process, and you will have more and more elects and Paravipras and people who reach higher consciousness. Therefore, it's, the more people are there to help the rest of the universe, and the rest of the universe is accelerated toward pure consciousness, and hopefully one day every ounce of the universe will return to Godhood of pure consciousness. The more teacher, the more Paravipras we will have, the more accelerated the process will be. Therefore, we are not really cutting any classes, but the classes are there to help the process to continue. Go ahead, Lou.
Yes. In thought, you mentioned that after God separated the male from the female in Adam, they became less than the image of God. Would you please explain?
Sure. Yeah. In the beginning, when God created man, God created many of them. as Do explains, and you can read it there. They were them. He created them. So, and they were male and female. They were in the image of God, and that is why God created them in His image. Later on, when He separated man to man and woman, He created, He no longer, the beings were created, they no longer were in His image completely. As we can see in the chapter 3, Adam will have a son in his image. He's no longer discussing that Adam was in the image of God, but the son after Adam was in his image, was no longer in the image of God. So we can see that being in the image of God no longer existed after man and woman was separated, male and female are separated from the original beings. And that is where we are at here, and that's what such an attraction between male and female, because we already know that we lost a part of ourselves, and we are looking for that part. And of course, the people who meditate and they have overcome and become Son of God, they become in the image of God, although they might be male or female, but if their spirit is both male and female, they actually manifest both male energy, which is logic, and female energy, which is grace, and they are humble and graceful and have a lot of knowledge and intellectually are powerful. Therefore, we can see that the body no longer is a criteria to know if you're in the image of God or not, but your soul is. But when God separates the soul or the spirit to male and female, those spirits no longer were in the image of God. I hope that makes sense. Go ahead, Hope.
Okay, well, I have two questions based upon what I read at the website that you declared your revelation in 82, in 1982. So I have two questions about that. How was you received by the Japanese Maitreya that has been waiting for the coming of Maitreya for about 1400 years? And secondly, how many followers do you have?
I started receiving the revelation from 1977, and in 1982 we declared or reached out to humanity in the spring of 1982. We put ads all over the United States and other countries, mostly United States actually, in some magazines and papers and all that. And at that time, of course, we heard another gentleman in England claiming that Maitreya came in 1982, and all that is in the website. And how the Japanese people received us, we really do not count who received us, who doesn't receive us. The most important is to give this revelation out to humanity. For a while, a couple of gentlemen in Japan expressed interest, but of course, as Christ said, when you put the seed, some seed falls into the field, that later on wheat comes and takes it away, and therefore, not much manifested there, but that does not deter us, because it's not important. The number of followers, who follows, it's up to God. It's not up to me. I give the revelation. Those who are prepared and ready for this revelation, they see right away, right through it. They don't have much of a question. They don't have any problem. They don't have any things that make them go away from the teaching and say, yeah, that makes sense. That there's one God, and God sent all this revelation. Actually, most of them, the people, they have gone from one religion to another religion, and none of them really satisfied them. And eventually, when they see this and say, yeah, this makes sense, yeah. And they come, and I do not count my follower. Actually, they're not my follower, this God's follower. It is between them and God. I'm just a plain messenger. And whoever receives me, receives God. And whoever does not receive me, rejects God. Therefore, it's very simple to me that if you see the truth in my teaching, great, you have it, you heard it, take it, love it, follow it, spread it, go to other people and tell about them. But eventually it is between you and God again, and there is no demand here to you go and bring some people here. If you do, that's great, but again, it is your revelation. When I give it to you, it is your revelation, it is your truth, it's between you and God, and then you go to God, and you actually try to lead your life. As you lead your life to a greater degree, you have no choice to light other people around you. So the most important thing to know that yourself, to progress, to become more light, see the light, therefore other people see the light in you, and they said, yes, I want that light as well, and therefore they will be attracted to you, and you become another center of the light, and attract those who like light. Of course, those who don't like light, they will be unhappy, they will be rough, and angry, and all that. They even, as Christ said, they will crucify you because of me. He said to his disciples the same thing, you know. They will say bad things about you because of me. They will be rough at you and all that. Therefore, being a prophet is not a picnic. Okay? A lot of people, you know, have their own ideas, their ego, their teaching, and they want to prove you wrong, and you don't care. Fine. If they can prove us wrong, then we are wrong. But if we know that we are right, nothing shakes us at all. But we know that we have the truth. Did they crucify Christ? Did they stop him? No, they did not. They cannot. They will not. And it's the same thing here. If that's not the truth, if that's not the light, I don't want it either. We will all drop it and go away. But I know with the heart of my heart, this is the truth, and that is what the revelation is, and God sent us, and He has given clear signs that this truth is come from Him. It is not an ego trip, it is not a cult, it is not something that we have made it up. Actually, if you read and see the truth we have revealed, it's impossible for a man to reveal so much truth. It's impossible for a person to come up with this thing. The only thing you can eventually realize at the end is, yes, it can be from a man, it's from God, and then we rejoice in you because you saw the light. But if you don't receive us, we leave you to God, and you leave us to God. So the number of followers is not important. Actually, when Christ was crucified, there was only probably around 100 people who were following him, not very many people were with him. Of course, they not only crucified him, they crucified his teaching as well, and they came up with all the dogmas and on truth and on belief. And as I said, you know, eventually one of the people who claimed to be a disciple took over, and now Christians follow Paul more. They follow Christ. Who was Paul? Was he a disciple? Didn't Christ said that the disciple is not greater than the master? If it's not, why do we quote more Christ, I mean more Paul than Christ? Or Baha'is? You know, who was Baha'u'llah? Wasn't he a disciple? Yes, he was a disciple. Can the disciple be greater than Bob? He cannot. But Christ said, the disciple is not greater than the master. So we can see again there, you know, that is the problem that human has, and hopefully this time, you know, everybody realizes they have to go to God, they have to go to the teaching, they have to go to God directly and prove it to themselves. You prove it to yourself. If the Japanese came or not, who cares? The most important, is it the truth? If it's the truth, great, I follow. If it is not, run away, you know, and actually I'll run with you. And run together, if it is not true. But it is. So, prove it yourself. If you have a question about the mission and our teaching, I would be more than glad to share it with you and prove why we say what we say and why is it true. So we can see that there's a lot of problem and misconception and and think that human love to follow, but it's not the truth. Go ahead, Hope.
Okay, I gather then that your only audience is are the people that have a computer. What about people who do not have access to computers? How do you make an attempt to reach them? Do they know about your coming? And you know what? How many people do you think you have reached?
Oh, we have reached probably hundreds and thousands and millions of people. Actually, as I said, there was a gentleman in England who put advertisement in every major city in 1982 announcing that Maitreya, he will come in that time. So there is no city, there is no country that has not heard that Maitreya will come in that time. That's the first thing happened. Of course, internet is reaching every corner of the earth. Of course, mostly Americans have computers, but it is not only really Americans. We can see Japanese, Chinese, every country actually today is connected to internet. But you're right, not everybody has computer. And not everybody, of course, come to our website. We have the spiritual teachers who dedicated their life to reach to those who want them over. We have books and literature that provided know to humanity. They can take it from our website. And as we, of course, grow and we have more members and more teachers, we eventually, hopefully, like to... also, we have centers. We have centers in Florida, North Florida, South Florida, in Quebec, in France, and where else? In
Kansas?
Netherlands?
Kansas?
Yeah, oh. Kansas, yeah. And many, many different places. And these centers get the point of contact for the people. And as we grow, our teachers reaches out and create more centers, eventually we have access to more people. And of course, if the resources was available, we will advertise in the papers, in newspapers, and everywhere we could. We take advantage of every opportunity God gives us to give this message to every human on earth at least once. They have to hear it once. After that, we're done with them. It's between them and God. And if they heard it, they saw the truth and loved it and believed in it, of course, they are a part of the mission. You know, and of course, there are steps they can take after that. And they can be initiated, they can become a teacher, they can become a household person, become a center, a contact person, become a lecturer, whatever they want to do to reach out, it's up to them. So there are all out efforts to reach this teaching to everyone. It's not only internet. Internet probably is the greatest window for the mission to reach more people. And apparently this teaching also have come to the West. I didn't start in the East. God brought me from the East to the West. And then said, okay, here is preaching. Of course, if I had been preaching it to the West, East, I mean, where I was born, probably I would not be even alive, to be able to talk to you. So, that's why I said God created, this country, that the freedom of religion is supported. So I can come here and then God gives this revelation so I can sit here and talk to you. Although we receive a lot of negative energy from a lot of people, but at least the only thing they can do is come to our room, yell at us, we are wrong, we are devil and all that. They're not stoning us or. If they eventually did, that also doesn't matter. This is from God, cannot be stopped, will not be stopped, will eventually humanity see the truth in it. So, give me resources, I will reach every corner on the earth. I hope that answers your question. Go ahead.
Okay, you mentioned coming from the East to the West. I'm not well versed in the other holy books, but I do know the Bible pretty well. And when Christ said that the Son of Man would come from the East to the West, he was in Palestine. So I could only assume that he, you know, he would come from the east up there to the west. How do you explain this east to the west, the way we understand it today? How did we make that transition, seeing that the Europeans were the ones to make that division, the east and the west?
Well, that verse is very clear to me. He comes from the east and shines in the west. So he will be born in east and he will come to the west to shine or bring his revelation to humanity. And actually that's a part of the fulfillment of the prophecy. If you go to the website, there is a big section. It actually, as I said, I start the mission by loving the message and experience I had to receiving this revelation. So to me, that was the most important part, and that is how I started the mission. I had no interest in prophecies or genealogy or anything like that, but as the mission continued, people start seeing these prophecies and bring it up to our attention, and they wrote it down or gave lecture or something like that, and we put it on the website. So it's very clear he will come from the east and the shine is in the west. Actually, no other prophet ever brought, no major prophet came from the west. All of them came from the east, and God had designed it as a genealogy, as probably Brother Frank can tell us much. God designed it. It's all come from the Abraham, children of Abraham, or Adam, or David, or Muhammad. But it has to come from that part of the earth. You know, it just that's the way God designed it, and then God fulfilled. Therefore, we can see again God's design and fulfills the truth and comes up with the, you know, the truth that it is. But that verse is very clear to me. It says he will come from the east and will shine in the west. Okay, go ahead, Kurt.
Since we're talking about these prophecies, you mentioned that you didn't take account of the prophecies until it was made evident to you by the other members of the mission. So that brought to mind the other messengers of God generally had a period of time in which the revelation was unraveled to them, the message that they would bring to the world. How did that occur with you? And I'm interested in knowing why the fulfillment of these prophecies was not revealed to you at that time also.
Yeah, well, there is a booklet or a lecture given in the mission. It's called How He Became Maitreya. It's a lecture given with one of the people in the mission, and it explains very clearly how I started receiving the revelation. In 1977, I came to the United States in 1973, and I was working for my master in business administration. I accomplished that, and then I was working for my doctorate in business administration in Mississippi State University. And it was, of course, when I was in Pennsylvania, I became in touch of the group called Ananda Marga, and became initiated and meditated. I started a school in a class in Mississippi. It's a long story, actually. I talked about it for the whole week of the first Feast of Tabernacle, that 1 week of gathering of our people together. That's the only thing we talked about, how I became my trainer, and that's why people knew about it, and they gave the lecture, and there is a book that is talking all about how it happened. But in 1977, I was to take my comprehensive examination and write my thesis. That was it left from my education. But at that time, I started receiving this trend of thoughts and stream of revelations and understanding of the deeper level. And one of that I used to run in Mississippi State University, and one day I just got very tired in front of the church. So, and I pushed the door was open, I went in, and and sat there and meditated for a while, and suddenly I saw all place all around me were you know, Bible, and I picked up the Bible and I started reading, you know, Genesis, and I started saying, wow, what's that mean? That's what it means. That's what it means. And then I talked to the priest and said, they mean it's something else. They couldn't see the truth in it, you know, but it was so clear to me what it meant. And all in all, it's a very long story. So the revelation started in 1977. In 1980, we eventually started writing the revelation down. But 1982, spring, it was already written down, typed in the booklets and books, and that is when we reached out. So there was a 5 years of revelation, and before that, of course, between 1982 to 1973 to 1977, I was all by myself, alone, and in a period of complete isolation, and I was meditating in on the Marga and fasting a lot and all that. So it's a kind of a being in the desert with the devil, and the devil, you know, tempting all the things in the world. And of course, you know, the West has a lot of attraction and maya that you can get attracted to it very easily, you know. But God kept me, you know, with the fasting and meditation and relaxation and all that. So there was a period just like isolation. It's always, you study early prophet, can see they have been in isolation for a while by themselves, and then eventually they reach the point that they understand what their mission is. So if you want to read about that, go to the website. There is prophecies there, there is our teaching there, there is how I became my trace there. Everything, almost everything is given in the website. And then if you have a question about the teaching and further clarification, come and I would be more than glad to clarify for you and talk about it. And hopefully, eventually, you know, you see that it's not a fake thing, it's not a call, it's a real revelation from God. And hopefully, you know, see what we see. If we didn't, then, of course, you know, we leave you to God. It is 5 after 12. Usually we stop at 12. Again, I encourage everybody to go to the website and see the truth. Eric Bahai, okay, I'll give you a chance to ask a question, but we are usually close at 12. Go ahead, Eric.
Okay, I just got a real quick question. The website says that Baha'u'llah was not an ancient entity to the gods, but I'm just going to put this little verse here. It's the King did not.
He's just going to post a little verse here or something?
It is a question. It's that really needs a long, long explanation. In essence, in a nutshell, when you go to the fifth seal, God says it's not perfect. It's not perfect, and there is a lot of reason it's not perfect, that was actually reason Baha'u'llah came after Bab, because Bab's teaching was not perfect. He tried to bring more perfection to it, and therefore he claimed himself to be the major manifestation, or he whom will be manifest. But as we said, Baha'u'llah was a disciple. No disciple can be greater than the master. Paul was a disciple, if he was a disciple. Therefore, he cannot be greater than the master. You have to go to the master. Who was the master? Bob. And you can see God said in Revelation. And also there are a lot of other things that you can look and say, well, really, Baha'i teaching, you know, and their mission is almost done. Yes, we don't have any guardian anymore. And Abdul Baha'i very clearly said, without guardian, your religion is finished. It's no longer there. You say Baha'u'llah's name is glory of God. It doesn't. It does not mean glory of God. Bab said that his beloved will be born in Tehran. Baha'u'llah was not born in Tehran. He was born in one of the
provinces.
Province of Azerbaijan. And they always had a problem with their successor in every step, you know. And eventually, of course, you know, they are against Baha'is, they are not against Baha'u'llah. Actually, Baha'u'llah did a great service to the mission, and that is because of the Baha'u'llah, many people have studied those prophecies. They have found these prophecies, mostly is they refer to Baha'u'llah because he was born in Tehran, which really he wasn't, and there is a lot of reason. It's not perfect, but love is with you, and his spirit is with you. And I say again, salam to all of you.